You're listening to Not Live from the Patio with your hosts, Heavy J.
Hey, everybody.
And Jay Lee. It's a podcast where your hosts talk about everything under the sun. Make sure you check out part two for the Dirty 30 every week, where all bets are off and there's no format. And the podcast starts now.
Jay Ling is MIA. We do have a special treat, though. One of my good friends, and I'm proud to say such a thing, special guest host, Tom. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Not a lot, man. Just chilling up north in Chicago, south side of Chicago, presently, actually, with my good friend, Megskay Office. Follow her on Twitter, at Megskay Office. She is a south side broad.
Meg's Gay Office?
Meg's K. It's a parody of Ken's Gay Office. It's M-E-G-S-U-K-E Office. Also, for all of you listening, follow me at Bitter Lunatic. Hear me rant and rave about hobos, professional wrestling, and life in general.
Yes, because you are a professional wrestler in your downtime.
Yes, correct.
And you do hate hobos.
I certainly do. I had an incident earlier this evening with a hobo, actually. Long story short, we were in a less than desirable area, and I just wanted to find something to eat. And I walked into the gas station and saw that they had nothing. So I walked out of the gas station, was going to go into this place called Sharks, which looks kind of like a, let us say, an ethnic version of Long John Silver's.
Nice.
And, I was walking towards it, and this gentleman standing on the front steps or whatever looks at me and goes, "Motorcycle man!" And I'm like, well, that's not accurate at all, but he held his fist out for the fist bump, and I obliged, not because I like him, but because I enjoyed Sid Vicious. And
rookie mistake, sir.
I go into Sharks, and I see that they have nothing on the menu for less than $9, and I'm like, well, that's just not really what I'm looking for.
Holy
so I come back out. And the gentleman who thought I was a motorcycle man asked for the second time if I had any change. And I said, no, I do not. And I actually didn't. I wasn't even, like, lying to him. And he then asked me if I had a cigarette. And I said, no, I don't smoke. And he yet again asked me if I had any change. And I said, no, I really don't. I was more concerned with how he confused the Aveo that I was being chauffeured in for a motorcycle.
Wait, so you were being chauffeured in an Aveo when you, in fact, yourself used to drive an Aveo.
Correct.
Isn't it funny how the world
It is very poetic. One Aveo dies so that another may live.
But on the subject of hobos, not really hobos, but questionable areas of cities where people have no qualms with coming up to you and just asking for anything. Recently, a couple months ago, maybe a few, went to St. Louis to see the 10th anniversary show of the album release for Story of the Year's first album, Page Avenue. And
oh, okay, yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, we stayed at this hotel. Right across from the hotel is this bus stop / train station. And the St. Louis, like, public transportation system is very efficient and very well thought out, surprisingly. But we go to get our tickets to get on the train to go, like, less than two blocks away from the music venue, which is just damn convenient. And as we're standing there, printing out our tickets from their little vending machine kiosk deal, surrounded by people of color, which doesn't exactly happen here at home, the girlfriend's nervous because she's obviously racist. I am unbothered by this fact, but homeboy walks up and he's like, "Hey, big man," and I just kind of played it off like I didn't hear it. "Hey, big man," then I knew he was talking to me, and I'm like, I just turn and kind of acknowledge him, you know. He's like, "You got any rolling papers?" I'm like, "Oh, dude, I'm sorry, I don't have any." But yeah, so questionable things happen in big cities like that, you know.
My favorite hobo story ever, this was many years ago. I was also in St. Louis, and I had just come out of a concert, and I used to actually go to St. Louis, like, and maybe like two to three times a month to see concerts, so a lot of them blur together.
Yeah.
But I honestly can't remember who I was there to see. But I remember I came out of the venue, and I was just in a really good mood. It was a really good show and everything, and I had bought a couple of, like, T-shirts or maybe a jacket or something, and I was like, just, you know, just really just, we can swear on this show, right?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Can we? Sure. Okay, yeah, yeah, I was fucking pumped. And, so I was just kind of like, you know, bebopping my way towards the car, and all of a sudden, there's this guy there just kind of, like, hustling up next to me, and he's like, hey, man, can I ask you for a favor? And I'm like, I don't know you, but, I mean, what do you need? And he's like, you know, my car's out of gas, and I'm trying to get a bus ticket so I can get back home and everything, blah, 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 and I just need a couple dollars if you got it. And I was in a good mood, and I actually had a couple of ones in my pocket. So I was like, yeah, sure, man. So I gave him two $1 bills, which was all that was in my pocket, you know. And he's like, oh, man, thank you very much, man, and, like, unfolds them to see the two ones or whatever. He's like, hey, man, I really appreciate it. I really do, but what I really need is, like, $5. If I could just get, like, $5, you know, that would be great. That would really help me get a bus to get back home. So at this point, my good mood immediately switches. It's not even any form of a, like, you know, slide or whatever. It just plummets to sheer unadulterated fury because I'm like, hey, man, I didn't have to give you anything, you know? And, like, now it's not enough that I've given you something. Now you have the nerve to ask me for more.
Right.
However, at this point, I had reached the automobile that I was headed to. And so I looked at the guy, and I'm like, yeah, I tell you what, I can give you a five. Give me the two ones back, and I'll give you a five. And he goes, oh, okay, and hands me the two ones back. And I said, fuck you, and got in the car. And I was like, you're not, no, man, absolutely not. Like, I didn't even have a five to give him. So, like,
awesome.
You know, the moral of the story is, you know, beggars should not be choosers, and they most certainly should not be greedy and push their luck.
Do not look a gift horse in the mouth.
No, absolutely not. Sometimes it will spit on you. Like, I appreciate the hobos that just are honest about it. Like, I gave $5 to these people this summer when I was coming into Champaign because their little cardboard sign didn't say, like, you know, oh, woe is me, the world has ruined me. It just said, we need gas and food. And I was like, you know, you are just telling the truth. Here's $5.
Which,
you know, if someone would just say, I have ruined, if I saw someone with a sign that said, I have made poor decisions, please give, I would be inclined to do so. But them saying, you know, I don't know, government stole my house, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I don't know about that. You probably just didn't pay for your house.
I have made bad decisions, please give. That sounds like a sign that Malachi Matthews would hold up at a wrestling show.
Oh, man, I'm going to get him to do that now. He's my green boy. He'll do whatever I say.
Whatever you say. Like, just next show that he's there in support and not on the card, just be like, here's a sign, hold it up, and then you come around and give him a dollar. That would be awesome.
I actually played the vet card pretty hard on Malachi the other day for no real reason. It was even by my standards, it was a pretty douchey thing to do. Having just relocated to the Quad Cities, it is now myself, Malachi Matthews, Jeff O'Shea, Matt Cage, and Knight Wagner all living under one roof. It's a big house, so it's not cramped or anything. But mere days after we moved in, Knight's car had to go into the shop. Something on it broke. And I wake up in the afternoon because I'm up all night, and Malachi is too, for that matter. We're usually just chilling right now. And I wake up, and I cook myself some breakfast, and the moment I sit down to eat, Knight calls me and said, hey, I have a couple things I need to do real quick, and I need to pick my car up out of the shop. Could you possibly come pick me up from work? It is like a 2-mile drive. But I had just got done making my breakfast. So I'm like, hang on a second. And I just walked into Malachi's room and just violently woke him up and said, yo, Knight needs you to go pick him up from work. I would do it. I just got done scrambling these eggs. And he just startles himself away and goes, Okay. And just saunters out the house in his pajamas, like, half conscious. I was surprised he even made it. But I was like, I just cannot be bothered to put this food down for 20 minutes.
No, you can't sit the scrambled eggs down, man, because once they go cold, they don't come back.
Exactly. And, like, you can't nuke scrambled eggs.
No, it's like McDonald's no french good. Fries. Like, after the heat goes, so does everything else.
Yep, exactly.
There's zero.
I'm like, I just put the Tabasco sauce on them and everything. Like, this is...
That's why everybody needs a young, broke, and barely over a green boy living in a house with four other men and one of them being yourself.
Exactly. Like, it's a good system.
I bet it works in your favor probably more often than you would admit.
Yeah, actually it does. It really does. There's a lot of times I think we're like... Not even just Jeff O'Shea or Malachi Matthews, but there's times where, like, just being in the locker room, and, like, the thing is, like, it's all relative. So, you know, I mean, like, I would be somebody's green boy bitch, you know,
sure.
If, you know, I mean, they're higher up in the food chain than I am, but, like, it is kind of nice, like, it more so at Dreamwave than anything. Like, one of the first things I ever got to experience there was the idea of having, like, you know, just guys on the show that are below me that will just do what I ask. And it's totally unnecessary most of the times, but I still appreciate it. And, like, I think my first show there, I said something like, oh, man, you guys have, like, really nice T-shirts here. And one of the trainee kids was like, would you like me to go get you one? I was like, I mean, yeah, that'd be cool. I can get it later. It's no big deal. And the kid legit, like, leaves the locker room and goes up three flights of stairs and gets a shirt and then comes back and was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure, do you wear a medium or large? I was like, medium's good. He's like, oh, good, I guessed it right. Here you go. And then I'm like, okay. Like, this all took place in, like, 2.5 minutes. I was like, you really did not have to sprint up all those stairs. I mean, it's not that big a deal. I could have got it on my own. But it was still kind of awesome that he did.
The secret that you don't know is that he had a medium shirt of his own in a duffel bag in the next room. And
no. He just splashed a little bit of water on his face to feign the perspiration.
Right, that's it.
Like,
clever.
And then just went home down one shirt.
You know, that's plausible. I have...
it really is.
I have been to a Dreamwave show one time, and that was you and Matt Hardy. And I gotta say, like, from a fan's perspective, Dreamwave shows seem to be a lot of fun.
It's a blast, man. And, like, they've actually even gotten better. Like, that was back in December. They've actually gotten, like, significantly better since then, I think, just because, like, the shows as a whole are better now. It used to just be like, oh, yeah, the show's good, but there's just two or three matches that just really stand out. And now it's honestly, like, I find myself watching much more of the shows now than I have in the past because there's just stuff that I'm like, my match is whatever. I just want to watch the first whole half of the show. But, yeah, the atmosphere there is just crazy, and it's really getting, like, better and better as time goes on. Like, I had fans make me a birthday cake this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, a few days ago, I tweeted something about, like, not having a coffee maker because mine got left behind during the move or whatever. It was on its last legs anyways, but I had a fan message me on Twitter and say, hey, I have an extra coffee maker if you want it, so... I got that. Let's see. The last after party, some guy bought an entire tray of Jell-O shots, basically just for me, but was like, I mean, and he's like, well, do you know anybody else that wants these? And I'm like, hang on a second. I just turned around and just started yelling, Jell-O shots! And then people just come, like, flooding over there. Yeah, he looks at this tray of Jell-O shots just, like, sitting across the bar from us and goes, I wonder how much those are. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. I think they're like $1 a piece. He's like, think I should buy the whole tray? And I'm like, yeah, sure, do that. Like, I didn't know if he was, like, trying to, like, dare me or impress me or what, but I'm like, yeah, sure, do that. So he does. And then I'm just kind of like, this is fantastic. And I don't even really like Jell-O shots, but, I mean, they're free.
Hey, if it's free, man, it's so much better.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, man, actually, the best was last show. Before the show, a fan brought me two cans of Monster Rehab. And I was like, this is the greatest gift that you could possibly give me.
Was
like, birthday cakes and everything else aside, like, free rehab is where it's really at.
Was it the yellow rehab?
It was. It was the classic.
The best. Best energy.
Have you tried the pink lemonade one?
Meh.
I like it. I mean, it's all right. I like the yellow one, pink lemonade, and the red tea one, the Rojo one. The green tea one is horrid. I don't care what anybody says. And I wish that I liked the protein one, because that would be not just up my alley, it would be up my damn driveway. But it's it's so bad. It's like drinking Windex.
It's not real good. I've tried all of them. I don't care for the red Rojo tea either. Like, I don't know. I think it's the aftertaste. It's got a unique aftertaste.
Yeah, I think that, like, if... I don't know. Maybe it's like that with the green tea one. Like, I like red tea, but I don't like... It's got to be good for somebody because they keep making the shit.
Oh, yeah. But the original lemonade, regular black tea, that's where it's at. That's my jam.
Yeah. And yeah, that's your go-to.
Like, Casey's. Do you have Casey's up there, or has it not spread north?
There's a few of them.
Right now, Casey's has 2 for $5 on the big 24-ounce Monster Rehabs.
Yeah, I see. I've seen that. That's a really good deal, too, because those are usually like $4 a piece.
Right, and I have partaken in such deal.
I think the only thing that I don't like about that is, like, I collect the tabs off of the can so that I can eventually get me some free merch, and the big cans don't have the tab with the little Monster logo on it.
Yeah, they just have the big oversized
They have that big industrial strength size tab so that you can open that monstrosity of a can.
Yeah, it all fits like a giant can.
They are. They really are. And I'm like, man, I'm so conflicted because I want to just keep stockpiling these tabs so I can get me a hoodie and a backpack and maybe a hat.
How many tabs does it take to procure such merchandise?
If memory serves, I think 50 of them gets you a hoodie, and I think 100 is the backpack. I think it's only 25 of them to get a hat.
So,
but
if you buy $150,
I'm going for the whole schmear.
If you buy $150 worth of Monster, you can get a $19 hoodie for free.
I mean, like, if you want to look at it that way, then it's just stupid. But, I mean...
But you're going to buy a meeting.
It's like... If you're trying to rationalize this, then I'm just not going to hear it.
There'll be no rationalization of the Monster Rehab, sir.
Look, okay, this is how I justify. I'm going to buy the rehab one way or another. I might as well get some free stuff out of it.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, it's like Marlboro Miles, you know? Like, if you're going to smoke and eventually, you know, cause a myriad of health problems... You might as well get this folding chair.
Might as well. I wish that Camel did such things nowadays, but, you know, it's all anti-smoking, and now they can't give away things for...
Do they even do that anymore, the Marlboro Miles thing?
I don't think so. I think that went away in the early days of laying down the law on cigarettes.
Yeah. Like, I can remember my parents had the catalog of stuff that you could get with the Marlboro Miles. I remember I was a kid, and I was like... Man, I don't ever want to smoke, but some of this stuff is pretty cool.
It just says Marlboro on it.
Marcus Crane, actually, his gear bag, for reasons that I will never understand because he doesn't smoke. Marcus Crane's wrestling gear bag is an old Marlboro duffel bag.
You know, and it's Marcus Crane.
I thought it was just kind of a joke, and then Matt Cage informed me that he's had that duffel bag since he's known Marcus Crane, and I'm like, well, you guys met, like, before I did, right? And he's like, it was in 2008. And I'm like, he's had that beat-up duffel bag for that long? It's so horrid.
And he's probably had it longer than that. So, you know, that's over 5 years worth.
Yeah. That duffel bag has seen its fair share of concrete floors.
I bet. Jay Ling, co-host, the usual co-host, MIA.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a party last year where he showed up and he had a Marlboro denim jacket and he had bought it at the liquor store. Like, they just had this random jacket somebody had probably had for years and, like, hanging up in there. And I think he bought it for, like, $15.
See, that's a really good deal because I bet money that thing was somewhere around half a million Marlboro miles.
That was 172 cartons of cigarettes to get that.
something about like going to the moon and back via Marlboro Miles was used to get that jacket, and he bought it for $15.
Speaking of Moon, on the last episode, we talked about the movie Moon. Have you seen Moon?
No, I have not.
Well, it's a movie with Sam Rockwell, who's awesome.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's really good, yeah.
Yeah, well, in Moon, he awakens to serve so much time for whatever the company is that he works for as a miner on the moon, and comes across this wrecked vehicle and, like, opens the door to, like, inspect it or whatever, and he finds himself in this vehicle. And, like, I don't want to spoil it for you, but I'm going to for the sake of the conversation.
Yeah, go for it.
He sees himself in this vehicle, and, like, together, himself and he discover that they're just, like, two of a long list of clones of this guy who just keeps waking up on the moon, and this company has cloned him several hundred times over, one person to mine the moon. But when I was talking about it, Jay Ling brought up this new movie Gravity that's coming out that looks really good with George Clooney.
It does. And Sandra Bullock, right? Yeah. It looks awesome.
It looks really good. I'd like to watch the IMAX 3D. I probably won't, but it looks really good.
The thing that I think I like about it, and I pointed this out the other day, is I haven't seen any other actors listed for it on the previews that I've seen. So I'm really hoping that it's a movie that takes place entirely with only those two actors, only out in space on the space station and whatnot. Like, yeah. I love movies with incredibly small casts and that are basically single location movies. Brings me to my next film, because I brought it up earlier today. Have you seen Buried, starring Ryan Reynolds?
I have indeed seen the movie, yes.
It's so good. And the fact that, like, any time that I bring it up and I have to describe it to people and they're like, what's it about? I'm like, it's basically 90 minutes of Ryan Reynolds in a box. Say it that way, it really doesn't sound interesting, but I think it's legitimately a very intense film.
It was. For me, that I enjoyed it, it wasn't so much that the movie was really good, it was that I was so surprised and taken back by what it ended up being, you know, like you said, it was really super intense, and I think, like, that surprise outweighed the quality of the movie, which was also good, but
yeah,
I did not expect it to be anywhere near that, because, like you said, it's Ryan Reynolds in a box.
Yeah, it's like, how much mileage can you really get out of that, but yeah, like, getting back to that movie Gravity, though, like, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really good. And there's one shot in one of the previews of Sandra Bullock just, like, slowly spiraling into space.
Yeah.
And she's like, is anybody there? And I'm like, that to me, when you really think about it, is one of the most horrifying and scary things I can imagine.
I think
because
if I were in that spot, I'd be just like, I'd make peace with it, and then the helmet would come off, and it would just be the instant death as opposed to the floating endlessly in space.
Yeah, like, I think I might be with you on that, because if my sophomore high school physics class is correct, I'm pretty sure that even after you would run out of air and die, you would just keep flipping,
yeah.
Right? Like, forever? Like, you wouldn't ever stop.
No.
Until, if for whatever reason, in a few millennia, you drifted close enough to a planet or whatever with enough pull to, like, stop you or slow you down, but
yeah, or suck you,
like, you would
atmosphere.
In essence just spiral for eternity.
Yeah, or, you know, you could get lucky and collide with a comet or
yes, or pull a Futurama and bonk into God.
You could, because we all know God lives in space.
I actually learned a lot about, like, physics from watching Futurama. There was a lot of things about it that I didn't know, and then I'm like, well, that actually makes sense. I don't recommend people use Futurama for, like, educational purposes with children, but, I mean, there's a little bit of truth there.
Did you fact-check the Futurama Physics 101?
The ones that I found interesting, actually, I learned from the commentary on the Futurama episodes, because I'm that guy that listens to commentaries.
You are that guy.
I really am.
The myriad of TV series and movies that you possess with commentary has probably all been exhausted.
Yeah, there's so many things, like, man, I had this conversation earlier today. There's so many things that I have bought for commentary and things that I have not bought due to absence of commentary.
Okay, that poses a question for me, for you. We had a difference of opinion on the movie Prometheus last summer. You really liked
yes.
it, and I was largely disappointed. Did you buy the DVD? And if so, does it give us any more reason to give a shit about anybody in the movie?
I did not buy the DVD. Not yet, at least. I just got to the point where I'm like, you know what? I'm just tired of buying movies and, like, Redbox and Netflix and, I mean, even the illegal downloading of movies is just so much more viable and financially a better choice for me that, like, for me at this point to buy a DVD, it has to be a movie that has just, like, completely blown me away. And, like, I enjoyed Prometheus for what it was. It was not the end-all, be-all. And it was heavily flawed. Like, I don't think I ever tried to say that it was not flawed at all, because it really was.
It really was.
But, like, I'm more likely to buy TV series because there's such a much higher rewatch factor on those and everything. There's a lot of movies that I have that I've, like, man, I watched this one time and I just don't even need anymore.
Do you have the movies?
Despite the fact that I just had to pack all these things up and move them to Iowa, I'm probably going to pack a lot of them up and take them to the old disc replay here soon and get me a few meager dollars.
Do you have any movies that you've bought and then never watched?
I do, actually. I have a handful of them. I have some that I've never even opened. And some of them are stuff that I have seen. Like, I have an unopened copy of There's Something About Mary. I mean, like, I'm not going to get rid of it. I like that movie. But I'm like, why have I not even opened this?
It's a just-in-case buy.
Huh?
Just in case it's not on TBS this weekend and I want to watch it.
Basically, yeah. I have a movie called Jawbreaker that I have never watched. I have a movie called Brick that I have never watched. There was a couple other ones that I was like, when I was packing things up, I was like, I need to make time to watch these. I don't even know where they came from. I think a lot of them came from Black Friday shopping. Because whenever I'm like, oh, $2 DVDs, well, yeah, I'll buy that. And then I get home, I'm like, ugh, no. Right? I just don't need this at all.
Yeah.
I watched the first 8 minutes of Doom, and then I shut it off.
Really?
So,
did you play the game
that
one?
I played the first game, like, when it first came out, like, all those years ago on PC.
Yeah.
And, like, it was fine. I mean, I never really got into it. But then, man, that just blew up for a while. Like, that was the thing. And then it
That was the first real big nerd game. Like, people locked away playing over, like, LAN networks, you know. I remember it was one of those questionable things, like, that mainstream media and parents didn't like because it was violent and gory.
Because of the violence, yeah.
They're like, all of our kids are shooting aliens on Mars, and some of them are zombies, and there's all this blood, and it makes my kids want to kill people.
But it was so, like, heavily pixelated back then, too. It was like, oh, people know that aliens bleed squares, you know? Like,
well, what game wasn't, though? I mean, that's not really a fair
statement. Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't buy into the idea that video games or movies make people violent. I think that's just the biggest crock ever.
Yeah,
but
it's hokey.
The idea of things at that time that were so, not just Doom, but I mean, like, video games in general were so, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess primitive, for lack of a better phrase, but, like, the idea that that game could influence anybody is just, to me, that's just laughable.
Well,
like,
even
just
today,
madness.
It's still laughable. I mean, I would say, like, probably Grand Theft Auto is the most recent, like, life-changing video game where people want to go and,
right.
you know, do bad things, but, you know, I play Grand Theft Auto, and I'm like, well, I just played Grand Theft Auto. No desire to kill people whatsoever. In fact, I was largely disappointed.
See, that's the thing, too, is that, like, they never talk about, like Grand Theft Auto did, like, stupid numbers its first day out, too. Like, it sold so many copies. And to me, it's like, okay, let's just say if one guy who plays Grand Theft Auto, goes out and kills a few people. Well, what about the other 800 million that played it and, you know, ate macaroni and cheese and went to bed? Like,
that would be this
maybe
guy.
It's not, yeah, you know, maybe it's not the game. Maybe it's just that guy. And, like, I feel like you can say that about anything. They say that about, you know, anytime that movies come out and then there's violent acts afterwards, it's like these movies do, like, incredible numbers, you know, like, it's not that the movies are making people violent, it's just that these people are violent and they happen to watch the same movies.
Or listen to music.
If it's a big, popular summer blockbuster release, yeah, there's a good chance they saw it. You know why? Because it sold $100 million worth of tickets. It's opening weekend.
Yeah,
like,
that fact always gets omitted. Like, of the people that watched it, how many didn't kill somebody? Like, that's never addressed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't, like, okay, the shootings in Colorado when Dark Knight Rises came out, I don't think that anyone ever really blamed it on that movie.
No,
but
they
at
made
the same
sure
time,
to
like,
throw out that
it cast.
They made sure to throw out several times that he wanted to imitate the Joker and all this shit.
Right, but I mean, think about how many people saw that movie that didn't do it.
Every other one. Everyone but that guy.
Yeah, like, it's still a much a real winning percentage, you know? Like, in baseball, if you hit the ball, if you hit one out of three pitches, you're considered amazing. So to me, if The Dark Knight had come out and one out of three people went crazy and killed people, you know, then, like, even then we're still doing not bad, but...
Yeah.
No, it was just one guy out of hundreds of millions.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, really. I mean, it's not just, you know, the movies and the video games. Like, the music is what really gets me. It's like, you're not even allowed to like Marilyn Manson, for example, because of his...
No.
Like, the way he thinks about the world and life, it's going to make you kill people.
Yeah, God forbid.
Nice,
like,
choice of words.
I think something else that people never bring up, you ever look at, like, older television and,
yeah,
like, watch a classic Looney Tunes cartoon. Watch an old Tom and Jerry cartoon. There is some violence in those.
And some racism.
And, yeah, and some racism. Some rampant racism. There was that Tom and Jerry cartoon with the black housekeeper that was, like, five or six stereotypes rolled into one.
All rolled into one.
But nobody ever says, oh, well, you know, when I was a kid, or nobody ever blames somebody dropping an anvil on somebody else's head on Sylvester and Tweety. They're just like, well, that guy's just out of his mind.
But how many people have dropped anvils on people? I mean... When that one time
I tell you what,
happens,
the ones that have done it were really damn impressive because anvils are heavy.
Well, that's why you get the Acme anvil dropping contraption of Wile E. Coyote. And find the nearest cliff.
I mean, I know that one time when I was a kid, I got in big trouble for painting a tunnel on the side of a desert cliff and watching my brother run straight into the rock. But
oh man.
I blamed it on watching Roseanne so I could still watch my cartoons.
Oh, but you don't want to nix out the Roseanne, man. That's some good TV.
Well, see, that's the thing. My parents were so, like, into it. They were like, well, we're not going to take that away from you. Just no more painting tunnels on the walls and making your brother run into them. And I was like, damn it. The train was going to come out next time and hit him.
All right. We're going to take our first segment break. This is the new segment that was mentioned on our Facebook page, facebook.com/notlive. I am pleased to bring you the Noonchin Minute.
Hey everybody, this is Ted. With the Noonchin Minute, I just wanted to take a little bit of time. Thank you to the fine folks at Not Live from the Patio. Did I say that right? Yeah, Not Live from the Patio. I wanted to talk a little bit about Noonchin and my sister, dear Margaret. Oh, she's so sweet. You know, one time, Margaret, she sent me to get some apples for an apple pie. And I went. Well, then I forgot what I was doing. and I started playing with the cows, and Margaret came out, and Margaret said, "Ted, you leave dinner alone. We gotta cut them up for Ninchen burgers. Where's my apples, Ted?" Well, old Margaret, she got so mad at me, so plumb mad, she threw the apple basket across the pasture and hit me right in my Ninchen noggin. What was I supposed to do? I dropped old Margaret like a sack of taters right there. She fell down, her face got all in the dirt and the manure. So I went, what I always do, and I grabbed the paint, and I painted signs for Ninchen. Thank you, and God bless.
Well, that was the Ninchen Minute. Thank you, Ted Ninchen.
My God.
He's a good guy, man.
He sure is. Also, Ted Ninchen sounds eerily like Ted Nugent.
You know that?
Like, not them as people. I mean, their names.
Well, maybe they like Ted Nugent out there in the sticks.
I think they do. Not even so much for his music, but more just for him as a person.
That's like the only picture they have in their little shanty house is a picture of Ted Nugent.
I actually like to imagine that there are two pictures on the mantle, but the big one is Ted Nugent and the very small one is Jesus.
Well, you know, he did throw in the God bless at the end, so there's a very good possibility. All right, I want to let you talk a little bit about what's been going on with you in the wrestling world and where you're at right now and how you feel about things, and that will lead us to the Curtain Jerkers segment featuring Matt Cage this week. So after the Curtain Jerkers segment, I'll let you go, sir, and I'll finish out the show. But just take a few minutes and put yourself over.
Oh, outstanding. I'm very skilled at doing so. wrestling is going well for me right now. It's keeping me very busy. I just had a match last night here in paradisical Berwyn, Illinois, in Chicago, for All-American Wrestling, a place I'm very happy to be at, even though there are times where it's frustrating, but still, like, it's a good place to be. Helps give me a lot of exposure. I got to wrestle with ACH for the first time ever.
I like ACH a lot.
Yeah. It's a good match. Very good. Everybody seemed to like it. This coming Friday, I will be in St. Louis, Illinois, or the St. Louis area. I think it's actually Alton, Illinois. St. Louis area, give or take.
Sure.
For Anarchy Championship Wrestling in a 6-way elimination match. And if memory serves, the people involved are myself, Matt Nix, ACH, Pete Dunn, one of the touring British kids. It's very cool. Evangelistico, and who was the last person in it?
You're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble. I honestly can't even remember right now, and it's not a slight against that guy. It's just that, like, there's a bunch of guys in that match, and I've been trying to keep track. Yes, making a, for me at least, relatively rare appearance for Anarchy Championship Wrestling. Hopefully more of those to come, because it's a super fun place to be. For anyone who actually watches independent wrestling, Anarchy, in my experience, is the closest to a PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla crowd, that I have ever been in front of. Like, those people are just absolutely nuts. And they love a good wrestling match. And if you give them that, then they will love you forever. If you don't, they will crucify you. Fortunately, I've managed to avoid crucifixions. And then on Saturday, I will be in paradisical LaSalle, Illinois, for Dreamwave Wrestling and my steel cage match against Jason Hades, for hashtag Hades, for the Dreamwave Heavyweight Championship of the World.
That's a big moment for you, right? I mean, you've been in Dreamwave
what,
2 years now?
Almost 2 years, coming yeah, 2 years, years in November.
And you basically started from the very bottom and met challenge after challenge and had things thrown at you left and right by a shady promoter, and now you've won over the fan base, you've won over the new owner with the change in ownership, and now you finally get
a good clean shot at the championship, right?
Yep. It'll be the first match I've had for the championship where there's no, basically there's no possible way for somebody to mess with it. Let's see. I also will be appearing for Scott County Wrestling in Paradisical Walcott, Iowa, in the coming weeks. And spoiler alert, I won't tell, I don't want to tell like everybody the details of it, but I will actually get to be in the ring with Vader in the coming months. So
are you gonna knock
out I am looking forward to and terrified of this.
Are you going to knock out his eyeball?
I might eat it. I might rip it out of his head and eat it in front of him.
At least get the one that he already had knocked out in Japan, so that it's probably got some damage. He won't miss it as much.
If you've ever seen that, man, it is grisly.
It's grisly.
It is really grisly.
It's dirt. It's Sid Vicious leg break, cringeworthy.
Like, I was having this conversation recently about the people that I have, that between myself, Alex Castle, and Matt Cage, the three of us, the people that we have been in the ring with in some capacity within just the last 12 months is a really incredible and just bizarre list that we never would have ever thought would happen. Because between the three of us, you can put in Matt Hardy, John Morrison, Gangrel, the Steiner Brothers. Let's see, Matt Cage is about to wrestle Devon Dudley this Saturday at Dreamwave. Got to be in the ring with Jake the Snake Roberts. An incredibly bizarre list of people that we never thought we would ever get the chance to like work with. Buff Bagwell.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Cage wrestled Buff Bagwell.
My face is on a credit card.
My face is on a credit card. Wah! What is that? Which, like, incredibly, like, I guess they still talk every so often. Like, I guess Buff will shoot Cage a text just out of the blue. Just, hey, brother, what's up? How you doing?
You know he like, reads it so... in Bagwell voice, too. Like, he has to.
Yeah, you have to. It can't be done otherwise. It's like, I don't know, like, wrestling has been really good to me, especially in the past year. Like, just a lot of bizarre things, you know. Like, I got... Just one day on my way to a show, I get to text Don Morrison, just be like, hey, man, what's up? And he's like, oh, not a lot. What are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm on my way to some armory in Indiana for a show. And he's like, oh, cool. I'm filming this movie that I wrote. And I'm like, well, your day is clearly greater than mine. Thanks, John. How them abs looking, buddy?
Like a washboard.
Yeah, they really are. You know, wrestling is going very good. I'm glad that my dear friend Reed, by God, Bentley, in Dreamwave and doing well for himself and is finally being given an opportunity to, like, really shine. Like, Bentley's been wrestling for a bunch of places for a while now and has always been told that he is just a good hand. And I feel like Dreamwave is the first place that's ever like, hey, we're going to do something with you, and he has just taken the ball and just ran with it. He has done very well for himself.
Absolutely.
The last show for them was their Rumble show, and I was taken aback because the last three men in the Rumble were myself, Matt Cage, and Bentley, and as soon as it came down to the three of us, the crowd was just absolutely electric. It was one of the loudest reactions I've heard when it came down to the three of us. They were just so into it.
That's really cool.
Just, I guess just for the sake of, like, I guess, like, new blood, so to speak, like,
sure.
Even though, like, I've been there for a bit now, like, they were just, it was really, really cool. It was really something special. Like, I was glad I got to share that moment with my friends.
Yeah.
And then, like, the closing few moments of that Rumble were actually, like, there's been a handful of times in that building where things have just been so loud where I actually am yelling and can't hear it, and that was one of them. So, it was really, really cool. I feel like I keep forgetting about somebody else that's on that list of guys that we've got to work with. Yeah, Vader. actually, I was at this bar earlier tonight in Chicago that's called the Headquarters Beercade, and you absolutely love this place. They have dozens of pinball and arcade machines, and they're free to play.
Nice.
You don't have to pay for anything, just as long as you... I mean, like, you just have to buy your own drinks. But not only that, but on the TV screens tonight, they were playing... the first Ninja Turtles movie and the matches from the WWE Best Superstars of the 90s DVD.
Awesome.
So everywhere you looked, And I think there was one or two TVs that they were showing, like, college football on. So everywhere you looked, it was either college football, Ninja Turtles, or, like, Vader and Sting was on that DVD, Flair versus Hogan, like, just a bunch of wrestling was on.
Yeah.
And everybody in that bar was, like, really cool and, like, into it. It was a very bizarre place, but I really enjoyed it. And, man, they have a lot of pinball machines.
This sounds like an awesome place to be, man.
Yeah, it was really fun. The $8 beers were not fun, but, I mean, they were good, like, but they were $8.
That's baseball beer.
Ugh, yeah.
The worst kind. Organized team sports.
Who needs them?
Who needs them? Anything else you want to toss out in the world of wrestling before we kick it over to Matt Cage and Curtain Jerkers?
I don't think so. Just follow me on Twitter. Check me out on YouTube. Yeah, just, I don't know, people, keep in touch. Odds are, if you're listening to this, you might even have my phone number. But I got Twitter. I got Facebook. Send me, or don't send me things. share my stuff from YouTube.
Send
me things.
Don't you dare.
Feel free to help spread the word.
Yeah, and I will plug some links on the Facebook page in the description for this episode as well, so everybody can check that out. I'm going to go ahead and say thanks for doing this here tonight on short notice and filling in, and you've done incredibly well, sir, and I really appreciate your company this evening.
Anytime, man. Be glad to do it again.
All right, feel free to stick around and listen to the Curtain Jerkers segment with Matt Cage. We're going to kick that over to it right now. You're listening to Not Live from the Patio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event of the evening, featuring Curtain Jerkers. Now, making his way to the ring, Matt Cage.
What's up, y'all? This is the Money Matt Cage here on the Curtain Jerkers. And I think I want to take this time to tell a little story. You see, as a professional wrestler, I encounter a lot of things on the road, travel up and down the road every week, every weekend. I've seen a lot of things, I've done a lot of things, and had a lot of things happen to me. And one of the things that I always take pride in is the fact that I'm very easy to travel with on the road. Now, sometimes this can become an issue, issues can take place, and one of my fondest memories on the road where it wasn't very easy to travel with me was about 2009. It was January, to be exact. And I came down with a bout of stomach flu. Now, earlier in the evening, I had suffered a concussion during a match with a wrestler by the name of Marcus Crane, so I was already in a really bad state. But then I found that it was very hard to stay on the road without having to take a shit. Well, when you are on the road for 5 hours, 6 hours at a time, one way, you want to make sure that you don't have to stop, as it takes time. When you have stomach flu, if you've ever had it, you know that it's very, very hard to keep your bowels in check, if you want to put it that way. So with a concussion, it's supposed to stay awake. My friends let me fall asleep naturally because they care about my well-being. This is why we are best friends. And I fell asleep in the car, and I woke up, and I felt something terrible. I smelled something terrible as well. And without saying anything, I determined that I had shit myself. So, what's a man to do? He asked the person manning the wheel of the vehicle to pull over, of course. So I asked my friend, he's known in some circles as hashtag Casey. I said, Casey, I need you to pull over. I need to go to the restroom. And he was like, well, we're almost home. We're only about 45 minutes away. And I said, Casey, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it 45 minutes. You need to pull over. There's a Shell station coming up. Take that exit. Go ahead and go to that Shell station. He said, but we're almost there. We've already stopped. You were asleep. We're almost there. If you can just hold it there. I said, Casey, I need to go. I need you to pull off at that gas station. And he's like, but Cage, why? We're almost home. And I said, Casey, pull the fucking car over. I shit in your car. And that's what happened. I've been Matt Cage, and I approve this message.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Cade sharing a road story. Once again, want to thank Christian Rose for chiming in this evening on Not Live from the Patio. And I'm going to go ahead and call this a Not Live from the Patio / Dirty 30 combo. Due to the language and just the rough format of the evening, everything was just kind of from the top of our heads. But that's fine and dandy. Everything works out great. It's been a good show, and I'm going to throw it over to close out the show with the John Hosier Experience. This is the second installment of hopefully many bits from John Hosier. Always a good time, usually hilarious. Here is the John Hosier Experience.
From the mind of John comes this report for Not Live from the Back Patio Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. And I would like to welcome each and every one of you to another edition of Inside the Animated Actors Studio. I'm John Hosier, and today it's my pleasure to introduce to you someone who I'm sure none of you have ever heard of or even met. I'm sure you heard of Droopy, right? Everybody heard of Droopy? Grouchy? Maybe, oh my gosh, I can't think of all the Seven Dwarfs now. I'm getting old. But anyway, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. You're all familiar with that. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Was that all there was? No. There was the little-known Eighth Dwarf. That's right. And today, I'm very pleased to present to you the Eighth Dwarf, Trippy. Big round of applause for Trippy. Welcome, Trippy. Sit down there in that little chair. I'm sorry your feet can't touch the ground, but that's the best we can do with our budget. So, Trippy, what's your story? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, man, I just, you know, man, I'm an old dwarf, man, and my name's Trippy, and I was left out of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, man, because, you know, they just didn't think that I would fit in with, like, you know, the Disney image, man.
Well, you know, Trippy, I mean, Disney has a has an image to keep up with, and I can just tell by the way that you are that Disney probably thought, oh my gosh, we can't have Trippy Disney. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, Trippy, go ahead, make yourself comfortable. That's fine.
Man, I hang on a second. That's better. I mean, I was okay with that, you know? Like, I had my own gig going. I mean, you know, Snow White, she had her problems, man. I'd hook her up, and the Seven Dwarfs would pull her away from me, man. But I was okay. I was like, hanging around the Haight-Ashbury and Woodstock and all this stuff, man. And it was like really cool, you know? And I made my money, man. I'm still making money right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how are you making money now, Trippy?
Man, I have this gift shop in Seattle, man. It's called Trippy the Hippie's Gift Shop. You know, Seattle, Washington, man, they really got it going, you know.
Oh, my gosh, Trippy. I got to tell you, I can understand why Walt Disney wouldn't want you to represent the Disney image, especially during that time period. I mean,
I don't know, man. You know, I don't worry about it. I mean, I had some good news from Alice, man. You know what I'm talking about, Alice?
Oh yeah, sure, Alice. Alice in Wonderland. You let me know that she just got out of rehab.
Oh yeah, man. It's like Alice. You know, that's a trip, man. Alice in Wonderland. She's really tripping there. I was so worried about her, man. You know, Snow White. She had her deal, man. She had her problems too, you know. Like all, you know, grumpy and droopy, man. Everybody knows, you know, why they call droopy droopy. I mean, you ever figure that out, man?
Yeah, I guess,
you know, he got in the mustache sometimes.
Okay, well, listen, Trippy. It's been really interesting talking to you today. And, gosh, you know, you're kind of difficult to talk to in between taking your little, shall we say, relaxation breaks there.
Yeah, man, I know. I just like to chill out and everything. But before I go, man, I want y'all to know that any time that you're in Seattle, man, be sure and stop by Trippy's. You know, Trippy's Hippies gift shop, man. It's really cool. We treat you right. We hook you up anything you need, man, all right?
Okay, Trippy. Well, it's been real. And pleased to have you on the show today, Trippy. And be careful. I hope that you have a great future for whatever you wish to do. And you never know, maybe Disney will have you back. Disney's loosened up quite a bit.
All right, man. Well, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks everybody. That's another edition of Inside the Animated Actors Studio.